My friends, for 3 weeks now, we have been in the vineyard of the Lord. 2 Sundays ago, we heard our Lord tell the parable of the workers in the vineyard who were hired at different hours of the day, but who at day's end all received the same daily wage. And then last Sunday, we heard a second story from the vineyard, this time about a man with 2 sons. He told both his sons to go and work in the vineyard. And while the first said, "Yes, sir," he never went. The second son rebelled at first and said, "No, I will not go." But then he changed his mind and went to the vineyard and did as his father commanded. In today's gospel, Jesus tells yet another story from the vineyard as he prophesies about his own approaching suffering and death. This time, the tenant farmers in the story, rather than caring for the vineyard entrusted to them, launch a rebellion against their master, engaging in wanton acts of disobedience, greed, and betrayal, until finally they even kill the master's son. The master pronounces a terrible chastisement upon them, and Jesus makes his point when he prophesies to the religious leaders of his day. "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will bear good fruit." 40 years later, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed a second time, this time forever. And yet the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, was sent out to the very ends of the earth. Now, what does this parable mean to us today? And how can we apply this gospel passage to our present situation? Well, 103 years ago in the year 1917, our Lord sent his blessed mother to deliver a message to 3 young shepherd children in a place called Fatima in Portugal. A message which is of the utmost importance for the world today. Our Lady warned the children of a great lie that would spread throughout the earth if God's people did not pray and repent and return to him. The great lie about which Our Lady spoke is atheistic socialism or Marxism. Marxism is a belief system born in the 19th century that espouses the worship of the state and the denial of God. Karl Marx taught that this world is all there is, and that everything in it, the individual human person, the family, the economies of the world, and institutions like the church must be subject in all things to the communist state. I would like to share with you today a very prescient quote from a recent column by a Catholic author named R.C. Van Langingham. He writes, "The devil's destructive forces have taken many forms over the millennia, but one of the most successful and deadly forms in modern times is Marxism. Marxists seek to tear down and destroy, for they hate the world and its creator. They believe that they are morally superior to God himself, and can do a much better job at building a just society. But before they can do that, they must destroy the old society. That means they must destroy what Chairman Mao and his Red Guards once called the 4 olds: old customs, old culture, old habits, and old ideas. Thus, institutions like the church and the United States Constitution must be obliterated. Like their father, the devil, the Marxists destroy by sowing division. They divide based on class, age, gender, race, and sexual desires. They turn people against each other using the deadly sins of greed, envy, wrath, and pride. People who adhere to the old ways find their property stolen or destroyed, their reputation sullied, their families persecuted, and themselves either executed are sent off to the gulag or work camps, where they are tortured for years, sometimes until they die. My friends, I don't know about you, but I find this a very accurate description of what is happening in our country today. We are under the threat of an ongoing Marxist revolution, which has been brewing and developing for a very long time. And the danger is far advanced throughout the whole world. Faced with such a reality, what can we as Catholic Christians do? Well, as in all things, our first response must be to turn to God in prayer. Today in our second reading, St. Paul presents us with a message of hope when he says, in the midst of our current trials and tribulations, we are to have no anxiety at all. Now, St. Paul was anything but a Pollyanna. Paul had plenty of troubles and sorrows of his own. In fact, he wrote the words of today's passage from his letter to the Philippians from a prison cell in Rome while he was waiting for execution. To mention just a few of the trials which Paul faced in the course of his apostolic ministry, there were false accusations and imprisonment, public scourgings, getting beaten by mobs and thrown out of towns and synagogues, shipwrecks and snake bites, spiritual warfare, and ongoing satanic attacks. Paul's life was in constant danger, and yet in today's letter he says, have no anxiety at all. What was the source of Paul's hope? In this passage, Paul gives a twofold prescription to follow in prayer. He says, in everything, in every circumstance of life, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Notice the first part of his prescription is the prayer of petition, putting our troubles in God's hands, making our requests known to him, and then placing our trust in him. And the second part of Paul's prescription is thanksgiving. None of us would be here today if God did not will that we be alive in this time and in this place. We are here by the gracious will of God. We know that the victory of Christ is assured and that our present hardships are part of God's permissive will for the salvation of souls. I'll close today with an invitation. A few weeks ago on the 15th of August, which was the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady, many of us in this parish joined thousands and thousands of Catholics throughout our land in a 54-day rosary novena, a novena for our country and for God's blessing on the upcoming elections. During the first half of this prayer campaign, the first 27 days, we prayed the rosary each day in petition, asking God to bless our country and lead us to him. During the second half of this prayer campaign, which is still going on right now, we transitioned and we have been praying in thanksgiving to God for hearing and answering our prayer. We don't know how God will answer our prayer, but we are confident that he will hear and answer us. The 54 days of this rosary novena ends this coming Wednesday, the 7th of October, the Feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And so I invite all of you to join us at 8 a.m. Mass this Wednesday, if at all possible, and then to remain for our final rosary. In my homily on Wednesday, I will explain the miracle that God worked on the 7th of October in the year 1571, which is the origin of the novena we are praying right now. And so that's from 8 to 9 a.m. this Wednesday. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, I trust in you.